And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's going on? How we doing?
Slow news week, huh?
Yeah, not going to have anything to talk about today. I just made that joke that I hate when people make. People do that all the time. They're like, I'm not going to have anything to talk about today.
What about my joke? Slow news week, huh? Well, I mean, we're both one for one.
That's fine. Yeah, it took us like 30 seconds to have violations. It was great. That may be a new record. Munson, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm exhausted. I am tired.
Did you stay up and watch the Dodgers game?
I actually did, yes.
Oh, man.
After I watched the vice president debate, because I'm doing my American due diligence.
There you go.
But after that, I did watch that Dodgers game, and it dragged, especially towards the end when Jansen could not get an out to save the game.
Please strike somebody out.
Look, it's funny because – so this is how the game started. This is a quick recap for you guys who didn't watch it, who fell asleep and were smart enough to fall asleep, and I wasn't.
Like me.
Like Joe Rexrode. So we're in the ninth inning. The Dodgers are up 6-3 right now at this point. And obviously you bring out your closer. So you bring out Jansen, who's probably one of the most well-known closers in the league, I would say, in MLB.
Yeah.
So he strikes out his first batter, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be quick work, and I get to go to bed, and we're going to be good. And then he allowed two scores after that. And then I was like, Jansen's got to head out of here. He's got to get out. And I think they were both like two doubles, like back-to-back. And I was like, he's got to go. And then they bring in everybody's quote-unquote hero, Joe Kelly. And then, they're like, okay, now here comes Joe Kelly. And he allows bases loaded.
Now, he's the same one that threw at the Astros earlier this year.
Yes, right? Why he's, a self-proclaimed hero amongst Dodgers fans. Not to me, of course, because, despite you can hit Astros all you want, you still can't pitch. And, that doesn't change the fact that you suck at pitching. So he comes out there, and he throws some nuggets. And it was more turnovers out there than LeBron in game three.
Wow.
Out there for Joe Kelly. And he had bases loaded and finally got a guy out. And I think it was Eric. I think it was. But he got somebody out because it was late. I didn't even know who he got out. But
somebody on the other team.
He got out somebody on the Padres. I can guarantee you that. And it was finally over. And then everybody's like, yay, Joe Kelly is our hero. I'm like, you guys do realize he had bases loaded, right? So all it took, and it was a grounder out. All it had to take was somebody to miss that ground ball, and we would have had a tie game and maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
So it was a long ninth inning for the Dodgers, but I got through it because I'm a trooper and I'm a fan of my teams, and I stay up late in order to watch my teams play baseball and basketball.
I respect it.
Impressive. So Dodgers Braves is what we're headed toward. You and Jim Wyatt ever talk Dodgers? I mean, huge Dodgers.
No, we talk all the time. We talk all the time. I talked to him yesterday about it. I was like, what did you think about today, man, with Kershaw? Because Kershaw in the playoffs, he really does bother me. And yesterday, but once again, this is Dave Roberts not knowing how to manage a bullpen. I can look at Kershaw and tell in that sixth inning, you need to probably take Kershaw out. And sure enough, he allowed back-to-back home runs right after that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is about the time you – sixth inning is usually around the time you start taking Kershaw out. And he kept him in, and he allowed two home runs after that. And there was some beef brewing, too, between the Padres and the Dodgers, which it was all Manny Machado's fault.
I'm all here for it.
Because, I don't like Manny Machado. He has a very punchable face. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, but I hope somebody in baseball does it. But he got mad after he hit a home run, to kind of bring them back in the game. He bat flipped in the middle in the sixth inning, bat flips. And, obviously the Dodgers took offense to that. So after they get a strikeout on Machado, they basically, the pitcher threw his glove and his hat and was celebrating this is after Cody Bellinger stole a home run. I remember that. Yeah. So Cody Bellinger stole a home run from the Padres, and everybody celebrated, and Manny Machado was mad. He was like, you guys can't celebrate for that. And then all the Dodgers are cussing him out on the bench. Max Muncy said some words that I probably can't use on radio, And yeah, it was very interesting.
Oh, the unwritten rules of baseball.
There you go.
Baseball and these unwritten rules suck.
Well, we had Jim White on yesterday, and we talked Robot Jim. I forgot to talk trash to him about fantasy football.
Yeah, that's why we got him on.
Yeah, that was like half the reason he was coming on.
Yeah, so I feel bad. So shout out to you, Jim. And who do you have this sorry week? About the I'll look that up today. We got we are talking fantasy football later. We got serious stuff.
Yeah, we got.
We
serious
do. We
stuff
do have fantasy it. Football later,
but we do have serious stuff.
We do. No,
there's stuff going on.
Stuff going on, and we're going to get to a lot of stuff with the Predators as well. A big day for them yesterday, but I think Joe, we need to start with the Titans. Kind of a crazy situation going on yesterday. Obviously, we were on the air yesterday when the Titans had two players test positive for COVID-19. Now I saw Pelissero last night tweet out that they're still kind of working to confirm that the second one is a positive at this point. So yeah. Corey Davis got put on the COVID-19 list yesterday. He was the only one we saw put on the list.
Right. So they it was confirmed yesterday. I got it confirmed. Everybody got it confirmed who's been doing this, you know, getting confirmations from people in the Titans that it was two positive tests. And as was it Pelissero or Breer?
I saw Pelissero last night, but Breer could have had it.
So there's another test to confirm one because, yeah, we all expected to see the two names. Of course, the one name is Corey Davis, another significant name, of course, on this team. But, yeah, a lot of stuff happened after we were off the air yesterday, and I tried to sort all this stuff out because there's this timeline, and some of it is really comes down to that, although I think some of this also comes down to common sense. But if you want to talk about what the punishments might be for the Titans, I think the timeline's important. So we'll unfurl all that. But if you want to start with, so Steve Lehman, our friend Steve Lehman, last week actually initially tweeted about the Titans having a workout.
At NBA. Yeah.
Exactly, at NBA. And I'll tell you, I totally missed the tweet.
Me too. I think everyone did.
Yeah. I don't. And so I've tried
that, or we just looked at it and like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it, and I'm trying to even think if I went back and I saw it at that moment, would I have been outraged? I mean, I think it should be obvious to, I think, a team if you are – and this is where – now, Paul Kaharsky had a report about the workout, including an NFL source saying they were told don't gather.
Yeah.
And so now there's going to be – I think we'll hear – well, we will hear from the Titans, possibly in release form. I think we will hear from Mike Vrabel today. Don't know when yet. So there's some sorting out of all that. But to me, whether – everyone got that message officially or not, I do think that if you're removed from a facility and told, like, we're closing the facility down because we all need to be separate from each other, right? I mean, that's what it is. We're trying not to let the virus spread. Then you should know that you can't gather. But I also think that, you know, I think with a lot of people, even 2 weeks ago compared to now, a lot of people better understand the incubation period and the idea of you can test negative day after day after day and still have it and it doesn't show up yet. So, I mean, and so I'm not making an excuse, but I will say that, one, the Steelers were practicing, right? And the Titans knew that.
Yeah.
Two, the Titans expected to be playing in a game. So they expected at that point to be playing in a game. So their thought is, let's stay sharp. You know, and all that. Stay in shape. You know, Kevin Byard was telling us last week about, you know, getting on the Peloton and all that stuff. So, and the NFL is sending teams to, I mean, the Titans had a positive. They went to Minnesota. We've now seen the Patriots have a positive. They went to Kansas City. So there is a mixed message thing going on here too. And I don't know. I mean, I want to hear from the NFL on their exact, like, with a name. This is when we told them this, you know, or we didn't tell them this until then. I know that the memo that says you can't gather was for teams that have been affected, and that was October 1st.
Right.
And that was the same day that Vrabel told us that they were reminded not to gather, but that was also a day after the gathering.
Yeah, the date in question here, I believe, is September 30th
right. At
NBA.
So the memo and Vrabel talking about that was the next day. So it kind of looks like a reaction to that. It wasn't necessarily. I mean, the The memo the NFL sent out was for all teams affected, and it's all the stuff we've been talking about. The gloves on the hands, the the masks on the field, the no in-person meetings, but that was one of the lines in there. And that, from what I can find, and I tried yesterday to go back and find anything written down prior to that, I couldn't find anything. Now, if someone told them, as Kaharski reported, don't gather, I mean, they were told. If they got an email, there's so many possibilities here on the timeline that can affect their punishment. But also, it's got to be pointed out here that this is not the only cause for them to be punished per right. the NFL and per information the NFL has shared this week. So I don't know when that is coming, but obviously, right now, the most important thing to the Titans is, just like we've been doing every day, it feels like Groundhog Day. Are they going to get negatives today? Yeah. Are they going to get any more positives?
Yeah, certainly, no question about it. And we'll probably find out the answer to that at some point in our show. We typically, the last 3 or 4 days this has been happening, have found out around, 7:15, 7:30, somewhere around there. So hopefully that's the case again today, and reports start to come out one way or the other, and we'll be able to react that live on the air here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You heard like the forfeit conversation start to get tossed around yesterday in terms of, the report by Paul Kaharski came out. I think Buck Rising of A to Z Sports came out with a report talking to Titans players who said, we weren't told anything until October the 1st, which if that's when it happened and they were told, the gathering took place the day before that. If you're the NFL, like, you can't, I guess, retroactively go back and punish someone if, in fact, that's true when you were told. But a lot of Titans fans yesterday were worried about, they're going to have to forfeit the game against the Bills, and that just doesn't seem like it's on the table whatsoever.
No, and Judy Batista of NFL.com cited a source saying that's not on the table for this. And, I mean, again, you think about this, and I wrote about this at TheAthletic.com.
Oh, boy.
Actually, I don't know if that's out or not. Yeah, Munson. I see Munson moving back there. But that's one of those things that if you think about it, and I think we talked about this yesterday, if I'm the Ravens or if I'm the Patriots, for example, I'm furious if you make this a forfeit. And I mean, I'm looking at the Steelers. I'm talking about division races now. The 3-0 Steelers, because that could be retroactive in theory.
Yeah.
Certainly looking at the 4-0 Bills, and I'm saying the Titans could beat them and help us. So you're giving them a free win against the Titans?
Right.
No. I think it's a bad idea to even dip into the forfeit pool. You can punish teams with fines. As of 24 hours ago, guys, I would not have bought the idea of draft picks being affected, but I'm open to that idea now. I think that it's possible the Titans get hit there. I still think that it should be a massive financial fine, which still hurts the Titans. But again, I'm saying that without knowing everything. I mean, I think it's probably premature to sit here and say it should be this or this before we hear all the information. There's some information on the Titans that I think is not, I would say, is a bit embarrassing in this process in terms of, again, just following the protocols. Now, could you find it in a lot of other buildings? I'm sure you could, but hey, one team's had an outbreak.
Yeah, no question about it. When we come back, we'll get into that a little bit. What could the punishment be from the NFL if the Titans are found to have violated protocols? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, I know you say it is what it is, but is it still frustrating to know that you guys can do all the right things and other teams, you don't know exactly what they're doing, but it puts the season in jeopardy. You don't know where you guys are going. Is it kind of just frustrating at the same time? You're like, all right, we were on this good path, but now we are here.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's frustrating, but, as a team that's, off to a good start, we feel like we've got a good thing rolling here and we want to play. That's our mindset. And again, like I said, we're preparing to play on Sunday. Unfortunately, it takes two to tango, and it is what it is. Like, we'll figure it out. The league will figure it out. And then we'll move forward from whenever we get the news, if we're playing, if we're not playing. Again, this is a team that's been flexible, and we've been able to adjust and overcome a lot of different things throughout the season. This is just another one of those things.
That was Bills quarterback Josh Allen as they look ahead to hopefully a game against the Titans coming up on Sunday. We'll see. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, yesterday, like, you know, the news came out yesterday morning, two more Titans players test positive. They're going to have two consecutive days of negative testing in a row to get back in the building. So you just kind of assumed at that point, all right, the best case scenario is getting back in the building on Saturday. Game scheduled to take place on Sunday. There's no way the NFL can allow this game to happen, right? And so far, game has not been called off. So maybe they will play Sunday. Maybe if you're the Titans, you're rolling in there on Saturday. If everything goes well, getting your walkthrough in and all the players that are available to you, maybe you do play Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine. I was surprised. I thought that was one thing the NFL would kind of take care of yesterday. So, I mean, look, until they say it's not happening, I guess you have to assume it's possible. But you think about what that would mean. That would mean a team basically 2 weeks away from football altogether, coming in and having one day, which wouldn't be a practice. I mean, I think it would be the walkthrough of all walkthroughs. Yes. And then go out there and play. Like, this is where we've talked in several instances throughout this, what feels like an 8-month process of 2 weeks, about the NFLPA, the union, and how they would look at some of these things as they're unfolding. You know, Charles Robinson told us, you know, they were mad last week about the idea of the Steelers game maybe going after like a day, a day or two of practice. I would assume the NFLPA would absolutely lose it if this didn't just get, you know, postponed.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I'm sure, you know, after all this stuff, you probably still, if you put it to a vote in the Titans building, they'd probably still vote to play. Like, anything probably. But what's happening now, where they're like the whole league is pointing at them and blaming them and, you know, and they're waiting every day in this agony for test results. They probably just say, like, we'll play. I mean, we'll take our chances.
But we'll get out there, suit up.
Yeah. It would be a terrible idea. And I don't expect the NFL to put them in that position. I just, for whatever reason, they have not decided yet to say that it's postponed.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, no protocol is foolproof. Question, did the NFL issue out the memo to each team to follow, or did each team come up with their own protocols? Either way, it's not foolproof unless you are in a controlled bubble. The NFL should not punish the Titans unless they deliberately knew what they were doing and broke the rules or the protocol. And then, Joe, I guess the question becomes after that, you know, with the mask part of this, there's some evidence apparently out there, or at least some rumors out there, that the Titans have been found on video in some instances not wearing masks inside the building. Do you get punished for that if you're the Titans? I mean, that's going to be part of this investigation.
Right. Yeah, there was a sort of a session, like a call Monday with some stuff. And again, we've talked about there's different things that they're looking at. I mean, Adam Schefter reported Saturday. There's also the matter of, you know, the information after Shane Bowen got a positive. So there's a lot of things here that are separate from this workout. The workout itself, I think that yesterday we had some serious reaction to the workout, which I understand to a point. It's a bad look. And I think a lot of people took it like the Titans were clearly, you know, like it was all laid out for them. And they said, forget you, we're going to do football stuff. Doug Farrar, USA Today NFL editor.
My goodness.
So, and I wrote some about this. My comment isn't posted yet. I think it's posted at some point this morning. I mean, a lot of people had reactions on Twitter. I mean, he actually said this is like, in fact, I'll actually go open up my file because I summarize like what he wrote. So he wrote that this was, I want to make sure I have this quoted, quote, the most disturbing and actionable offense in NFL history. He said it was worse than the dogfighting ring, Michael Vick, Greg Williams, bounties, all the Patriots stuff, and anything you want to bring up in the NFL that's been investigated. This was, and he said that the Titans should have their season shut down. I'm going to say Doug may have been overreacting a little bit.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. A
little bit of an overreaction. And again, I mean, his point is we are talking about – I mean, he had some points in there that were fine. We're talking about an infectious disease. We're talking about things that clearly can help spread that. And so you think about the impact at large. So I understand that idea, okay? I think that's an idea that always needs to be here, that it's not just the football team. We're not just talking about, you know, this game or your fantasy team. It's people out in the world spreading a disease. But, first of all, we're talking about a lot of questions around messaging, okay? And we talked about it last segment. I mean, you know, I don't blame anyone on the Titans for saying, man, the Steelers are practicing. We got to stay sharp. You know, we got to do something. I do think that common sense should apply here and didn't apply here. And I think, like, Ryan Tannehill, and by the way, give Chris Harris credit, give Teresa Walker credit.
Yep.
They called NBA and got confirmation that Tannehill set this up. I mean, this is – and again, it's like no one's treating this like it was some big state secret.
It's not like some crime he committed, but it's just – it's not a good look.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, that's again, like Lehman tweets it 6 days ago. I didn't see it. No one seems to notice or care. You know, Tannehill, hey, can we go pass around? Like, I think the thing that Doug is missing, I think a lot of people around the league are missing, and it's not a full excuse, but like I think he looks at this like they were intentionally being underhanded and sneaky and like, oh, we're going to beat the system
right.
And work out anyway. I don't care about this virus. And I think two things. One is maybe the messaging to them wasn't clear enough. We need to get that cleared up today. Vrabel needs to clear it up today on exactly when, what was told to who, when. But also, you know, I think that this is an example of people in the moment, in real time, figuring out what the incubation period means. I think we've talked about it, like in games, you know, why are they doing all this stuff? I mean, I tested negative. What do you mean? What? I tested negative. We all tested negative. What's the problem? The problem is you can test negative for several days and have it, and then it can show up. And the Titans have helped a lot of people, I think, learn about that.
And helped me learn about that.
And I think and I think they've learned about it too. So I'm not excusing it. I think it's a definitely bad lack of common sense. If you're not allowed to gather at your building, like you can't gather somewhere else, right? I mean, it's – so
right.
Ryan Tannehill should apologize for this, but like to call this like the most
egregious crime in NFL history,
it might be a bit much. Like if Doug, and again, like to me, Doug must believe that this is purely, you know, just being deviant and not caring at all. Like,
right.
Yeah, whatever. COVID, you know, I don't think it was that. I don't. You know, Roger Saffold put out a tweet a lot of people got mad about yesterday, too.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to find that. I had that in this file too, in this piece that we'll run at some point today. You know, and no, I can't find it. But basically, oh, here we go. Here's the quote. Quote, guys just don't work out for fun. This is for their livelihood,
yeah,
their family, their opportunity. Say what you want, but I'm standing up for my team always. Again, like, that's fine, but just work out separately. You know, the whole point, the messaging part, the timing part, that relates to the punishment to me. And I think it relates to the anger on the NFL, because if you were watching, and I talked to some people who cover the NFL, but if you were watching anyone who covered the NFL yesterday, or people in the NFL, players, if you follow players, there is some anger at the Titans.
Yeah.
Like, furious.
Well, there were reports
people.
Yesterday, I think Florio had an article yesterday saying, like, basically – that the hammer was about to drop on the Titans, that they were going to see punishments doled out to the Titans, the likes of which we've never seen in the NFL before.
Historic,
yeah, historic punishments coming the way for the Titans. And I look around, and I think a lot of it depends on when they were told, what they were told. But if they weren't told not to gather until October 1st, and that's true, how can you dole out the historic level punishments for a gathering that took place on September 30th? Was it stupid? Yeah. And probably need to use a little bit more common sense when you're kicked out of your facility and not go gather on the field. But also, to your point, Joe, I mean, in the back of their minds, they're thinking, I mean, we're still playing Sunday, right? Or maybe Monday against the Steelers. We can't just show up and expect to win.
It's no fair.
Yeah.
They're practicing. We aren't. It's a football mindset. which the league is also putting in you,
right?
Right? When it's like, yeah, you got the positives, go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's definitely there's mixed messages here. And, you know, the punishment part – look, again, to reiterate, Kaharsky reported an NFL source said they were told September 29th. So this is where I say good job on Paul, the reporting, and everybody who's done reporting on this, okay? But that was a good job of reporting. Also, NFL, put someone's name on it and tell us.
Exactly.
Today. Tell us who was told what. Titans, tell us who was told what. So that gets sorted out, okay? And again, I'll still go back to common sense at the very least was lacking there, but that will impact what you just said about Florio. Is this going to be like this history? Like if they openly defied something they were told very clearly, then I think the hammer should be heavy.
Real quickly, let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh text in, Tom Brady was meeting and throwing with his receivers in the offseason when the facilities were closed.
Yep.
Nothing has changed as it pertains to the virus since then. I will say Tom Brady did not have a teammates full of outbreaks.
Right,
in the room. That's the difference.
No, I mean, look, we know that Tannehill and Jonnu Smith got together. And
yeah.
No one – like if there's no reason to believe someone has COVID, then that's a different situation, right?
Right.
And again, this is where the incubation period – this has been an awakening in that. Not an excuse for anyone, but it is something to keep in mind here.
When we come back, some wholesale changes made yesterday for the Nashville Predators. We'll get into that. But first, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel, do you not?
I do. And I would like to tell you guys that the FanDuel app has been an amazing thing for me.
You're learning.
I am learning.
You're like an expert now.
Yeah, I'm an expert now. Actually, is there any way we can come back? I sorry, guys. My laptop today, I'm having some serious issues. My power cord. Okay, wait, hold on. I'm getting
fixed it on the fly. Look at there.
Let's please. This is
all
where.
Let's run it back now, Ron.
This is where you're doing live radio, and my technical skills are a problem. But listen, I can still figure out the FanDuel app. I have figured it out. In fact, I put in my picks this week. I've got all my picks in. I'm going to get them all right, by the way. And I want Tennessee to know that sports betting is almost here. The FanDuel Sportsbook giving you an exclusive offer right now to get started. It is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. So there you go, $50 free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. It's America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports in a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. I can attest to that personally. Unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel gets your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Right thing for you to do. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check out their app for yourself. I've done it recently, and it is a lot of fun. There's a lot of things you can do on there. And when you sign up and register, use promo code Joe, J-O-E, so they know we sent you. So remember, verify your account. You'll get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live, and use promo code Joe, J-O-E, to get that $50 in site credit. Remember, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable, expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789.
We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Well, I think it's all part and parcel of, after the season and after the evaluations and of what we did well and what we didn't do well and what I saw in the future. I guess, first of all, I would like to comment and really thank Nick Bonino. I think he was a great signing 3 years ago. I think how he played for us, what he did off the ice for us, his leadership. I really think Nick Bonino's got more good years ahead of him. And I've also said to him on other occasions, I said to him today when we made the trade, I think he's got a fantastic hockey mind. And I certainly could see him being in hockey well after his playing days if he ever chooses to go in that route.
That was David Poile, Nashville Predators general manager yesterday, who was a very busy man, Joe Rexrode. Yesterday, the Predators trade Nick Bonino to the Minnesota Wild, also send a second-round pick and a third-round pick to the Wild in exchange for Luke Cunnan and the 101st overall pick yesterday in the draft. Cunnan, 22 years old, coming back to the Predators, a former first-round pick, a guy who put up 31 points a year ago, 15 goals, and a guy who the Predators are hoping will be here for a long time. He's a restricted free agent, They're going to have his rights and his contractual rights under their control for a long time here. So we'll see what sort of a deal and an offer the Predators make to get Cunnan signed as a restricted free agent and how long of a term they choose to go there. But Nick Bonino out the door yesterday. Joe, I'll be honest with you, I was not overly surprised by that. And I wrote about this a couple of days ago on thegamenashville.com. To me, Nick Bonino's trade value was never going to get higher than it was heading into this offseason. He was great last year for the Predators. And in terms of like consistent performers, I thought Nick Bonino, as far as the forwards are concerned, was one of the few guys you could point to last year that you knew what you were getting on a nightly basis. He was consistently productive. He consistently played well. I thought, you know, with 1 year left on his contract, trade value probably never going to be higher for Nick Bonino than it was.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that Nick Bonino, for as much as we talked about this team's at times sort of lack of fight back, lack of grit, you know, at times, you know, is softness too strong a word? You know, maybe at times.
At times, no.
You know, I think he was a guy who consistently was not that and consistently counteracted that. And, you know, even in the postseason, he had some big moments in their very brief postseason. And I think that's a huge intangible loss along with just a really solid player. But you get younger, you get cheaper, and you have a guy in Cunnan who – look, I'm trusting my guy Mike Russo. He and Vingan did a little back and forth at theathletic.com about this trade, and Russo called him a poor man's Ryan Kesler, which is an interesting comparison. Hard-nosed, gritty, right shot forward who can play wing and center. Not yet, as of now, the scoring acumen. But what, 22 years old?
Yeah.
So I guess, do you look at him right now, Robbie? Is this all of a sudden this team like went from overload of centers to not an overload of centers? I mean, is he this team's third line center?
I think that's probably where he would start at this point. Now, depending on, I mean, you still got some things to figure out.
Yeah. Maybe some big things.
Yeah, maybe some big things. We'll get to that here in just a second. But maybe this, you know, does Philip Tomasino make the team out of camp? If so, probably going to be your third line center at that point. You know, but Cunnan's a guy, and it's interesting. I talked to him a little bit yesterday. He's a guy that can play on the wing, at center. But last year was really the first year that he, like, figured it out and got in the NHL on a full-time basis. He played 63 games last year, 15 goals, 16 assists. He had kind of bounced up and down between the American Hockey League and the NHL before that. I just think this kind of goes in line to what David Poile talked about heading into this offseason, is they want to get younger. They want to get younger. They want to get faster. They want to get a little bit more versatile in what they can do. And I think Cunnan, at 22 years old, being a former first-round pick, you like the upside there. Now, I will say this. You know, giving up Bonino is a heavy price to begin with, because I think Bonino could really help them this year. You toss on a second-round pick and a third-round pick in addition to that, there's going to be some pressure on Cunnan to hit here if you're right. The Predators, because that's a steep price to give up for, even if he's a guy that works out and plays here for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years at least, that's a pretty steep price to give up for a guy like this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a ton of pressure. Like, there's a lot of pressure to go around right now on certain guys to, you know, to hit. So our friend, Jeremy K. Gover, had a tweet that I thought was interesting. He put out his lineup, you know, right now as it stands, and he had Tomasino and Tolvanen with Duchesne on the second line, which I think is, one, I mean, I think it's very optimistic. It could be very intriguing, too. I mean, obviously the Preds would love for those guys to earn that kind of a role, but I mean, what do you think about that?
Look, I really like Philip Tomasino. I think he's going to be a very good player. I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves around here of what he's ready for at this point. I like a lot of what I've seen. Do I think he's close to being ready to play in the NHL? Yeah, I do. Now, do I think he's ready to be thrown in on the second line at the wing and just go with Matt Duchesne? I don't think I'm willing to go there yet. So I guess the question then becomes, what's best for his development? Is it making the team, playing in the top six role? Is it going back to play junior hockey? This is kind of the perfect example of, you know, this rule. Because he's so young, he can't go play in Milwaukee. this would be like the perfect scenario for him to just go play in Milwaukee.
Sure.
But he can't do that. So you're kind of in a bind if you're the Predators. He's either got to make the team or you send him back down to a level where, yeah, he can still get better, but he's just dominated that level. So it's an interesting spot to be in if you're the Predators. I'm not going to say that he's not going to make the team and not going to play in the top six. I think that's a lofty expectation.
Well, I do think that from a fan standpoint, and look, the point is, you know, the most important thing is you want guys to develop and you want to be able to win. But I do think that from a Predators fan standpoint, the idea of a Tomasino being up with the club, of a Tolvanen being finally getting a real look, I mean, I think that that would bring some of the excitement that I think has been lost in these last couple of years of major disappointment. Now, that's not why John Hines is going to make decisions. He's making hockey decisions. But just thinking from the Predators fan standpoint, it would be a nice breath of fresh air for them to have some young players to watch develop along with. And the hope that, like you said, younger, faster, just a remade team can somehow give them a jolt. I mean, something has been stale here.
Yeah, no question about it. And the other big news yesterday for the Predators, Kyle Turris bought out, placed on waivers unconditionally for the purposes of a buyout. We had Adam Bingen on yesterday on the show. That was basically the thing we were looking for yesterday. Would the Predators make the decision to buy out Kyle Turris? And Joe, I think the more you kind of dug into it and tried to dissect the pros and cons of it, it just made the most sense. Like, you could either wait for Kyle Turris and see if he figures it out with a full year under John Hines, which is risky. You're not getting a trade out of it. Nobody's making a trade for Kyle Turris right now unless you're, you know, retaining a large portion of the salary. The easiest thing to do was just to buy him out. And now that that's been made official and the Predators have bought Kyle Turris out, you got to start wondering, like, that trade, it's rough, man. Like, think about what they gave up to get him. Samuel Girard. Like, we all love Dante Fabro here, think he's going to be a really good player. Can you imagine if this D-Cor had both him and Girard right now?
Yeah.
Be in a much different spot.
Because right now, that third pairing, obviously, it needs work. What Poile said, like, that's his top free agency priority. But, yeah, I think Vingan said yesterday, maybe the worst trade ever. It's a brutal
trade.
It's up
there.
You know, it's funny. I do think, you know, I wrote that they should buy him out. A lot of us thought that a long time ago. And then yesterday I was like, maybe it's worth. I think that was all that David Poile needed to decide, you know.
You?
Yeah. Well, if he thinks the other thing, I'm doing this.
No,
but I mean, it's how you want to look at that also from a money standpoint. I mean, you are now on the hook for $2 million for 8 years.
Yeah.
But also, you just opened up $4 million for the next four. So
in
you have
space,
more. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a brutal situation to buy someone out. For Kyle Turris, it's not terrible. He's going to get paid a lot of money. Now he can go play. Someone will want him. I mean, Kyle Turris is not a bad player. It's just that he just was such an overestimated player by David Poile, and or everything just completely fell apart when he got here. For whatever reason, it just didn't work. Like you said, there were some better things we saw under John Hines, but I think it was the right move ultimately. And now they've got to do something big here. Now they've got some youth coming in. They've got some guys that they hope they can count on to have bounce back years. They need something else.
Yeah, they need something else. And to that point, there was a specific free agent yesterday that came to mind after the Predators made this move that I think would be an interesting fit here in Nashville. We'll tell you who that is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Saturday, November 14th, support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger. It's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, with the big moves made yesterday by the Predators, Nick Bonino traded, Kyle Turris bought out, they're roughly $16 million, right around the $17 million mark in terms of cap space available to them heading into this season, which is a much better position than they were in this time yesterday.
And it got me thinking, after those moves were made, Bonino out the door, Kyle Turris bought out, you look at the roster, and I think some people think that David Poile is like just tearing this thing down right now and that they're going through a rebuild. And I just don't see that. It just doesn't make sense to me. And look, you can think what you want to think about this team and the way they're trending and the direction they've been heading in the last couple of years. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that they've been trending the wrong direction. And you've had questions come up of, okay, can this core group get the job done? Are they good enough to win? Are they good enough to compete for a Stanley Cup? The fact is, they're all, you know, when you're talking about Johansson, Duchesne, Arvidsson, Forsberg, they're all starting to get into the prime of their careers or already there. Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, you could put in that same category. Because of that, like tearing things down and going through a total rebuild, it just doesn't make sense. Like it doesn't make sense to do that. So you look at the roster right now, Bonino gone, Kyle Turris gone, and I guess your question is, all right, what comes next if you're the Predators and David Poile? And a name that came to mind to me yesterday that if you would ask me this time last week, I would have said there's very little chance it happens. Taylor Hall, a unrestricted free agent, confirmed yesterday he's not going back to Arizona. I don't think that's some big surprise there. He's going to enter free agency. With the way this offseason is set up, with the salary cap being what it is and staying flat, my guess is, and I don't know this, but my guess is if I'm Taylor Hall, I'm probably not looking to sign a 7-year right. deal this offseason.
Right.
I'm probably looking more in the 2 to 3 year deal range if I'm Taylor Hall, and then looking to cash in again after that when hopefully COVID is gone and the salary cap goes back up and things of that nature. I think Taylor Hall to the Predators could make a lot of sense. Obviously a guy that when he's healthy is an elite player in the game. He's won a league MVP award with John Hines as his coach, by the way, in New Jersey. If you've heard Hall talk about John Hines, there's a lot of mutual respect there. I think there's a chance that the Predators take a run at Taylor Hall during all this.
Yeah, I think it's an intriguing idea. So we'd be talking about, I mean, you know, Taylor Hall's 28, you know, so it's not like he's old. Now, I think the injury health question with him is a big one, right? I mean, look, Taylor Hall, we're not that far removed from 17-18, 93 points, 39 goals, Hart Trophy. I mean, unbelievable season for the Devils. That was an outlier in his career. He did have an 80-point season with the Oilers back in 13-14, but talking about a guy with a lot of ability if he's healthy, I think you're dead on – I think a lot of guys are looking at it that way, right? It's take the little short deal now and then hope the cap gets better.
Yeah.
But what would Taylor Hall with Matt Duchesne, what would that look like? How intriguing could that be? How much could that change the trajectory of things? Again, if he's healthy and you can get him somewhere near that level of a couple of years ago. I mean, it's got to be at least a serious point of discussion right now, right?
You would think so. And I'm sure, you know, without talking to John Hines about this, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out he's probably a big fan of Taylor Hall. Or a brain surgeon. Nice tie into yesterday, the choice is yours. Doesn't take, you know, a genius to figure out he's probably a big fan of Taylor Hall. Obviously, he saw firsthand what he's able to do when he's at the top of his game. And I think the point you just brought up may be the biggest point in all of this is right now, I mean, you feel better about that Jofa line with Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson, given the way they played together in the qualifying round series against Arizona. But right now, like, who's Matt Duchesne playing with? I mean, he played with Granlund a lot last year, played with Turris, played with Smith.
Played with Forsberg a lot.
Yeah,
but
he's are you breaking up that line right now? Probably not.
I don't think they should.
You know, we've heard some lineup projections. You mentioned Govers earlier that had him playing with, you know, Tomasino and Tolvanen. Well, that's great for those guys.
Yeah.
But what does that do for Matt Duchesne? I mean, you're talking about a lot of responsibility there. You bring Taylor Hall into the mix. You put him with Matt Duchesne. And number one, at that point, there are no longer any excuses that you can make for Matt Duchesne. You've got your guy to play there. You need to be productive. But number two, I think that totally changes the dynamic of the top six. I mean, think about the offseason so far. Smith's not coming back. At times, he was in your top six. Granlund was in your top six.
And now Kyle Turris, who was in your top six, not coming back either. That's losing three guys in pretty important roles there, not to mention Nick Bonino along with that. You've got to replace that, and it can't just be with younger players. Like, it can't just be this youth movement that comes in and you expect to remain competitive at that point. Like, I'll be honest with you. If this is what it is and the Predators are just dumping off Bonino and Kyle Turris is gone, Granlund Smith not coming back, and you're filling all those spots with young players, it's hard for me to imagine them making the playoffs next year. It just is. Like, yeah. It's a lot to ask, I think, for that group.
Well, and to your point, this isn't a teardown. So I don't see why David Poile would stop here. This is, I mean, you know, like, the way that you've gone about things tells us that there's a corresponding move. It's kind of like when John Robinson moved Jarrell Casey to Denver. My first thing was, okay, what's the corresponding move? Now, it didn't come until way later in that instance, you know, and finally being able to land Jadeveon Clowney. But I think there's got to be something. I guess, could it be, you know, you've got all this cap space. I just can't believe that he won't be close to the cap when it's all said and done. Now, you could get there, I guess, by trying to shore up your third pairing of defense and other smaller things that add up. But I think you've got a chance to make a big move. Is there another big move?
Not really.
This is it.
It's not a great free
unless there's
drop.
A big trade move. So right. If there's a big move, it's this, or it's some kind of trade that we don't know, and, you know, Deshane's gone or right. Whatever. I mean, this is the move.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the roster right now, and David Poile said it yesterday in his press conference, there are no restrictions from ownership. He's got the ability, according to him, to spend up to the cap if he feels necessary to do so.
Well, that would be a huge disappointment otherwise.
Right, and that tells me, you know, with $16 million plus left in cap space, even with Yossi's contract kicking in, there's a lot of room there, I think, for Taylor Hall. Now, then the question becomes, you know, does somebody out there just give Taylor Hall an outrageous amount of money to be there for 2 years? Maybe. Does Taylor Hall want to be here? I think Pierre LeBrun reported yesterday that the Predators are going to be in on him, so it's interesting to imagine what the fit could be like with Taylor Hall. And then, let's just say, for sake of argument, Taylor Hall ends up with the Predators. How much does that change? Does that change your expectations of what the group can be? We've talked about the grit, the toughness that they have lacked at times. I'm not sure Taylor Hall really helps you there. Certainly adds some skill. But do you feel like you have enough around the skill in your lineup to play that, you know, that grittier game that John Hines has talked about? I still think there's some areas to address there as well.
Yeah, like,
just lost Bonino, who does that.
Yes. Yeah, like, that's a good point. You still have to address that, but you can do that, you know, on a much cheaper basis,
oh, yeah.
Right? So how would this be regarded? A year ago, like, when they moved Subban, everyone knew that it was because of Deshane, and you felt like that was kind of a slam dunk.
Yeah.
So how – and obviously that was – very hailed by a lot of Predators fans. I think some have maybe had a little bit unrealistic expectations for Deshane, but still, how would the league look at the Predators signing Hall, and how would the league look at the Predators if they had him? What would Predators fans like? Is it all of a sudden this total revival and excitement? Like, okay, this team, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Look, you're still going to have your doubters at that point. Look, I'm not saying Taylor Hall comes in here and this team is automatically, you know, back to being a Stanley Cup contender. I still think there are some areas where they're going to have to get a whole lot better in. And until I see a full season out of Johansson and Forsberg and Arvidsson like I saw in that qualifying round, there are going to be some questions there. But right now I just look at the lineup, and it keeps coming back to, all right, who's Duchesne going to play with? Because Turris is gone, Bonino's gone, Granlund's gone, Smith's gone. Who are you putting with Matt Duchesne? And to me, you know, Tolvanen's great, and can you imagine what it could do for Tolvanen's development if he's playing next to Taylor Hall and Matt Duchesne?
Right.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that's going to have a lot of free ice at that point, which is – that's been one of the biggest problems of his professional career so far, is trying to find a way to find some space and use that shot. You'll be able to find some space with Taylor Hall and Matt Duchesne on your line.
Yeah. Yeah, look, there's no way Matt Duchesne is excited about the idea of playing with two young guys at this point, right? I mean, this would be huge for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to have the Taylor Hall foam finger right now. I mean, a lot of this probably does come down to Hines and Hall and the relationship too, right? I mean, that could be an edge, obviously, for the Preds, maybe even overcome someone offering a little bit more money.
And the other thing, and this, I think sometimes we overlook this, but especially in a year like this, when there's a pandemic, There's probably not going to be as much money on the table for Taylor Hall as he would like. There is no state income tax here. That helps.
There you go.
So I think sometimes that gets overlooked.
Matt Duchene just texted him that very point.
Yeah, no state income tax. Come to Nashville. So certainly going to be interesting to see if the Predators get in on the Taylor Hall sweepstakes. We'll just have to wait and see. I think they're allowed to start talking on, I believe, Friday is when they're allowed. So maybe we'll have something answered in that aspect when we come back over the weekend. Should be fun to see what goes on there with the Predators. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans, discuss the big news yesterday. What punishment, if any, could be coming down the line for the Titans? That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.